This is Beverage Barons. Today on Beverage Barons, while overall beer sales are challenged both on-premise and off-premise, growth rates are under even more pressure in restaurants and bars. I interviewed Scott Elliott, Senior Vice President, Nielsen CGA, to learn what on-premise retailers must do to meet this challenge and what manufacturers must do to help them. And here we go.
So, Scott, it's good to have you here. Scott Elliott, who's the Senior Vice President of Nielsen GCA, dealing with on-premise channels. Y'all have done some interesting work lately and have found some interesting facts, one of which is that in the beer category, on-premise is squeezed more than off-premise, but both are squeezed a bit. Can you talk to us for a couple of minutes about that?
Yeah, sure. Well, I can certainly talk about on-premise. I mean, CGA, as you can tell from the accent, we're based in England, but for our U.S. service, we launched this 2 years ago, and we now are very pleased to provide on-premise measurement and on-premise consumer data to all the leading manufacturers and distributors in the U.S. And let's just talk about on-premise. That's what we do here. So it's a tough market out there. You know, it's quite a let's just say it's a flat market. I would say that on-premise continues to be the channel for experiential and occasion-driven activities as opposed to habits. It's just people just don't go there just for a beer, as many people, you know, just to catch up over a beer like they used to do, you know. And there's many reasons for that. But certainly, I think on-premise has got quite a unique challenge in that supply in terms of outlets. So I'm talking about traditional on-premise here, bars, restaurants, nightclubs. You know, supply continues to grow. We have demand which is pretty flat, you know, in some markets declining, and you've got huge innovation and a massive influx of new products, not to mention just craft beer or spirits or anything else. So what we generally have is an incredibly competitive share-driven share gain market, you know, and I think when you have that kind of pressure, and you have a sophisticated consumer, increasingly sophisticated, who typically drink across many categories, you know. If you look back in the old days, and you know, like my dad, and I'm sure yours, Joel, you know, you used to just have a guy, used to be a beer guy, you know, and that's what he used to drink. Or when you look at the younger generation now, we've just surveyed 15,000 people, only 8% of millennials only drink beer, you know. So, you know, when you look at that, compare that to 31% of people who are over 55. So you haven't got just people just drinking one category anymore. Your average kind of brand repertoire of the beer drinker is about 26 different alcohol brands they drink. You know, nearly 30% of consumers drink at least two categories on the same night out. And so what you have is this consumer type who are sophisticated, they're fickle, they have very little loyalty, they're using the on-premise for experiences as opposed to habit. And what you have is this a fragmentation and a challenge for beer and other categories, but particularly beer. And I think that is the case across the board, but certainly for on-premise. And it's really, as we all know, it's the big beer brands and big manufacturers which are struggling and losing out somewhat to wines and spirits.
So if you're a big beer manufacturer, well, let's back up for a second. Let's start with the retailer, on-premise. Let's start off with the on-premise guy. What would an on-premise guy do to help in this situation? Or what can he do?
On-premise guy, are you talking about a manufacturer or a retailer?
No, I'm talking about the retailer.
Yeah, sure. Okay, well, I think what the retailers need to do in the on-premise, they've got enough things on their plate, yeah? They've got a... Let's look at your big chains or, you know, any kind of sector. To be honest, they're focused on driving footfall. They've got to appreciate that on-premise visits are driven by occasions. So if you're an independent, you're a neighborhood bars are having a tough time. You know, we've lost 1 in 6 of them in America over the last 14 years. Let's look at neighborhood bars. They've got to be able to drive footfall through occasions. You know, they've got to be able to be sophisticated enough to meet the needs of an increasingly sophisticated consumer base. And they've got to understand, what people want from that experience and that occasion. You know, if you're a big chain, you look at your big... Sorry, go on, mate. Are you going to say it?
Nope, I would go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, if you're a big retailer, you know, say you're a big national chain, they've got other unique problems. They've clearly got a traffic problem. So that's hard. But those guys, they focus a lot of their time, quite rightly, on their food offer. That's what drags people into their venue. And what they need to do, I believe, more is rely on suppliers, good suppliers, and good distributors who are the experts to help them build high-quality, compelling drinks programs, you know. And the challenge when I work with manufacturers and distributors all over the U.S. now, my challenge to them is, guys, you know, I think the U.S. is pretty unsophisticated compared to Europe and compared to other big developed on-premise markets that I've consulted in around category management, assortment, pricing strategy. These big retailers need support from the experts. And these are the people with the money and the resources to help them deliver better pricing, assortment, and category management strategies for beverage alcohol.
Sure, Scott Elliott.
I think the retailers need to demand more from their suppliers and distributors. That's my thoughts.
So excellent, Scott Elliott. Now let's turn to the manufacturer. What should he do? Give me the three things that a Anheuser-Busch or a big craft brewer or a small craft brewer should be doing to support their on-premise customer.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think it really depends on who that customer is. You know, it varies so drastically, doesn't it? From your mom and pop's bar to your big, you know, the big chains of the world. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I've worked in a lot of on-premise markets, and the American market is very difficult. The three-tier system makes it quite difficult for suppliers to maybe do what they would want to do. And I agree with the three-tier system, of course, but it does make it difficult for them to activate and support in certain ways that they might want to do. So, but certainly if you're a big manufacturer, you've got to stay close to your customers. You've got to understand the customers and the needs and the preferences of your major customers. Let me explain that. So if you're selling to, I don't know, I'll use one of the bigger chains, Applebee's or Chili's. If you're a major manufacturer, do you understand what the Applebee's customer looks like, wants, needs, what are their preferences? You know, you have to understand that if you're going to support that customer better, you know. And those insights are available. We do all that stuff ourselves, and we brought that to the U.S. over these last 2 years. But I really believe you have to be able to understand and put yourself in the shoes of the retailer if you're going to be able to offer anything like a high-quality or consultative, you know, a collaborative support as a supplier, which is what these retailers need from you in these difficult times.
And I presume that if they don't do that, other brewers such as the larger craft brewers or even the very local craft brewers are more than happy to step in because they are smaller, so they can be closer to the customer than, you know, an Anheuser-Busch InBev or a Miller Coors or one of those people that has a global operation. Am I correct about that, or am I...
I totally see the logic, you know, and I think the big guys are increasingly sophisticated, you know, and I work with those guys and the smaller ones, and they really know their business. They really know what they're doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think what often happens is if you're a smaller craft beer, you know, and in a certain area, say San Diego, you've grown up and you've lived there and you know that customer and you know that region and you know what those people want. And as a result, just naturally, you're able to offer great support and advice, you know, mm-hmm. to the local retailers. I think the problem for the small guys is how do they move beyond their heartland? And that's a big question that virtually no craft beer company has been able to do independently without being bought out. You know,
mm-hmm.
how do you go from the local market that you know live and breathe into a regional and a super regional and a national brand and survive without becoming a victim of this ongoing erosion of the next small beer brand comes and chews away at your revenues and your sales, you know? That's a real challenge.
And that sounds like a good and that sounds, Scott Elliott, like a great topic for another conversation another time, but I promised I would have you out of here at 4:44, and I will meet my promise.
Excellent. Thank you, Scott. Joe, and again, happy to talk anytime.
Thank you so much for your time, and I think this is very insightful, and I agree with you that you know, it completely is a game changer compared to what we were doing maybe, say, 10 years ago even. So it's a great thing. Thank you for your time. Have a great day and good luck to you.
It's a real pleasure. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.